our goal as human beings is to make a garden out of that forest and make it something that actually serves us. So create your model of the ego in a way that actually supports you on your journey as a person.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, we have a special guest from across the big pond. Jay, welcome. How are you?
Hello there. Yeah, I'm really good. So excited to be with you here today.
Awesome. So we always start out these shows, no fluff. We just jump right into the meat, right? So I know a couple of days ago that you took our self-love quiz at bradchandler.com/quiz. So if you're listening, you haven't taken it, go right now and spend 3 minutes. It could change your life. bradchandler.com/quiz. What did you score on that, Jay?
I actually scored the highest result. I didn't expect that, but it was pretty awesome.
So there's probably about 7%, 8% of the people that score extreme self-love. So congratulations. But had you scored anything lower, I would have just told you, hey, your life can drastically improve. So let me ask you this. Have you always had extreme self-love?
No, not at all. I mean, growing up, I didn't even have a concept of it because back in the day, we didn't have self-improvement as much of a mainstream as it is today. And self-love wasn't even a concept. And so most of my life, my youngest years, my 20s, my 30s, I actually spent pretty depressed. So it was an amazing result to my old self to look at this. I think she would be very surprised.
So the title of this podcast is From Depression to Extreme Self-Love, How Living Your Purpose Can Change Your Life. So tell us more about that story. I want to hear about this depression and what life is like and what has changed to have gone from the lowest of lack of self-love to extreme self-love.
Right. Well, as I said, growing up, I didn't even have a concept of self-love. So I couldn't aim for that simply because of that. But growing up, I was extremely depressed. I didn't obviously share it as much, but it did impact my life and my businesses in many ways. And so what it came down to, it was about not feeling right. You know, there is a meme, I'm not the right person for my life. And this is exactly what I felt. I felt I wasn't the right person for my life. I felt like something was wrong, but I couldn't put a finger on it. Like something was missing. It's almost like wearing clothes that are not your size. And you don't know, but you feel that something is wrong. And so with my life, I felt like I was out of place. Like I was not making my greatest contribution to the world. I was not living my life to the fullest. I was not really doing what I was here for. And I wish back then I could meet a mentor like myself, someone who would tell me, right, you know what? This is why you feel that way. And this is what you can do to improve it. And so I had to figure out things for myself. I had to figure out and find those ways and build those ways through my own research and through my own experience. And so what happened, I've always been a researcher, by the way. I have an academic background. And so in a way, it came naturally to me. And so what I started doing, I started putting those bits of data, those bits of information together, thinking, right, there must be a way out. There must be a way of living my life, actually feeling happy and fulfilled and not miserable and depressed and like I didn't belong there. And so what I started doing, I started trying out different techniques and I realized that what we really need deep down as human beings is the feeling that what you're doing has a meaning, that by living your life, you're contributing to something greater than yourself, and not just through a business, but also through a personal example. And so what I started doing, I started basically crawling my way out of the depression, out of the darkness, by implementing those techniques step by step until I've built an entire system where I can now guide other people to find their purpose.
That's awesome. So we're going to talk a lot more about what you do and how you serve others. But I want to hear more about, so the meme was, I'm not the right person for my life. I've never heard that. And that's quite amazing. What was life like when you felt like you weren't the right person and you had this depression?
Well, to be honest, I wish I could finish it. And I wished that for many, many years. I didn't do it, as you can tell, mostly because of the sense of duty for other people in my life, but also because I follow the idea of reincarnation. And I know that ending your life with suicide just brings you back and in conditions that are even worse than the original ones. So the logical part of me didn't want to do that, because why would you exchange a life that is horrible for something even more horrible? That just doesn't make any sense. So it made more sense to try and figure out my way out. And the way it impacted my life was I couldn't really commit to anything. And success in any area, be it sports, business, self-development, comes from commitment. So you have to be able to commit. But when you're depressed, you just don't have the energy and the passion to do anything wholeheartedly. And you need that passion. You need that commitment and that dedication to pull things through. So I would say that was one of the biggest, well, not regrets per se, because it's a lesson learned, but something I wish I could done faster. And I know I could have done with a mentor, but I just didn't have a good mentor by my side at the time.
So can you give someone who's listening who has depression first some hope, but then kind of the steps that you took to go from depression in this unpurposeful life to now a life of purpose and extreme self-love?
Of course, I'd love to. So firstly, if you're feeling depressed, usually it's not directly your fault. So don't blame yourself. Don't tell yourself that you're lazy or that you don't have the skill or you're just lacking something. It's not true. Usually the only thing that is missing is information. You need a bit of knowledge. You need a bit of a guidance out. So if you feel really depressed, first thing to understand is it's your mind waging war on itself. It's, in my experience and in my observation with other people, what depression really is, it's like a mental inflammation of sorts. And the reason why it happens is because one part of your mind, your ego mind, your conscious mind, wants something, as we do. But there is also another part of your mind that is your soul or your subconscious. And that part also has its desires and its needs and its wants. But because most people don't have these levels connected together, they don't work together. Most people don't know what their subconscious wants and needs. And so those needs and wants are never being listened to. And over time, the resentment on the level of the mind keeps building up. And this is what causes depression eventually, because that war between the conscious mind and what we're going to do consciously, the goals that society imposes on you, the wants and desires and aspirations that you might have picked up from someone else are now circulating in your system. And they're actually upsetting your subconscious mind, because your subconscious mind actually knows what you're here for. And it wants you to manifest that greatest purpose, that greatest service to the world. It wants you to make a difference on the level you are called to. And the conscious mind is interfering with it. So understanding that this war within yourself is not directly your fault. You didn't do it. You didn't choose it to be that way, but you can choose to stop it. And to do that, you need to start listening to your soul desires more, to your subconscious, your higher self, your superconscious self even. And this is what helped me to get out of the dark place.
Man, good stuff. I'm going to add that it's not only not your fault, there's nothing wrong with your brain. If you've got depression, despite what some doctor may have told you about your serotonin levels or something, there's nothing wrong. It's just a thinking problem. And really, you're just protecting yourself from something that your mind thinks is worse. So that's quite amazing. So tell us, moving from this personal transformation of what you do now, can you tell us a little bit more about how you help others find their purpose and how has that impacted your lives and the lives of your clients?
Right. So luckily for us, we actually know what our purpose is, not consciously, but that information is included in the blueprint, in the structure of our soul, in the shape of your soul, let's say. Now, the trick is to get out that information, to access it. And what you need to access it is a bit of knowledge of how to master your mind. So I teach my students how to bypass the level of the ego and transform your ego from your enemy into the greatest ally that you can possibly have, into the greatest tool, like your personal computer of sorts, that can connect you with the most amazing things, both within yourself and within the universe for manifestation. So what you need to do is to learn about the four levels of the mind. This is what I teach my students. So learn about the four levels of the mind. You understand how your mind works. And it's like learning about the machine. You know, if you understand how it works on a deeper level, then if something goes wrong, you can be your own technician. You can fix things. And this is what I love about what I teach, that one of my primary objectives is to help my students to become self-sufficient. So they can come to me if they want to, but if they prefer to deal with things themselves, they're able to do so as well. And it gives you an incredible feeling of power. So, go on.
Can you tell us about the four levels of the brain?
All right. So it's the four levels of the mind. So your mind is not actually the same as your brain, because your brain is in your head, whereas your mind is an energy structure that permeates not just your entire body, but also the different levels of you, the spiritual levels of you as a human being. And so on the lowest level, we have what is called the carnal mind or the physical mind. And it's the level of the mind that runs your body. So it's the level of the mind that knows to repair, let's say, to heal a scar or to heal a wound if it appears. And you don't need to do anything to make it happen. It knows how to do it. So it has that internal wisdom. And also, for example, if you have certain issues you may not be even aware of, that level of the mind looks after the entire functioning of your body. It also tells you when you're hungry. It tells you when you're thirsty. And it does all sorts of things. It regulates your breathing, for example, because imagine how hard would it be to actually consciously having to remember to breathe.
Yeah.
So that level of the mind is actually very interesting because it's amazing for meditation. It's very simple, very to the point, but it's also very powerful. And it only ever exists in the present moment. And this is why, if you focus on your breathing, it helps you connect with the current moment and stay in the now, because you connect with the level of your carnal mind. So beyond that, and if we allow it, by the way, if we allow it to run uninterrupted, it's really good at its job and it can repair most things. And it also knows what your body needs in terms of food, for example. So if you listen to your carnal mind, you never have to ask yourself, what vitamins do I need? What I need to eat to stay healthy? When do I need to exercise? How much do I need to exercise? And all of these things, because it knows and it's ready to tell you if you're willing to listen. Unfortunately, though, beyond the carnal mind, there is the subconscious or the soul mind, the level of your soul. I also call it the emotional mind, because on that energy level, we store our emotional patterns. And with most people, unfortunately, they're mostly negative. And the way our mind functions is that each level of the mind has the power to override the decisions of the levels that lie below it. And this is why, as our official medicine is discovering right now, almost, if not all, physical illnesses are psychosomatic, meaning that they first originate in the mind, in the brain, in the way we feel and think, and only then get translated onto the physical level and affect the physical. And so, for example,
If you would have told me that 5 years ago, I'd have been like, this, she's crazy. Like, there's no way. And now, after doing all the work and all the research, I'm like, oh my gosh, it really is true. Like, most illnesses are stress and the way that we think. It's incredible. But unfortunately, Western medicine, when you go to the doctor, they never ask what you're thinking or what your stress level is. They want to just diagnose you, label you, and then throw you some drug.
Yep. This is how they get paid. So
we've got the carnal mind, we've got the subconscious. What are the other two levels?
And the next one is the ego mind, which has the power to clean and organize the emotional mind. And this is how, for example, we can dissolve negative emotions through self-analysis and self-reflection. So it can be very powerful. But for many people, they use it incorrectly, because the unfortunate thing about the conscious mind or the ego mind is that it always chases the blame. And this is why most people don't live their purpose, because the ego will go after whatever is the most shiny. So if society tells you that doing so-and-so is noble and widely approved, the ego will chase right after that to prove itself. It's just what the ego does. It's its nature. So because it does that, and it tries to prove itself, and it tries to get recognition and get admiration from other people, these are the ego's main objectives. It's not evil, by the way. In most people, it's not configured in the right way to serve them. And so if you don't create your identity, if you don't design your identity consciously, this is what happens. So whatever society tells you is a worthy goal, usually your conscious mind, your ego, will accept that and will go after that to get recognition.
Do you believe that the ego are parents, teachers, and caregivers?
Sorry, repeat that.
Do you believe that the ego is made up of parents, caregivers, and teachers?
Well, it's not made up, because it's a combination of things, but what it does growing up, or forming rather, it hoovers up everything that it sees that would somehow make it feel approved and admired. So whatever it is, it will just suck it in and use it haphazardly. So it's like a forest that grows, and whatever happens to be there is there. And our goal as human beings is to make a garden out of that forest and make it something that actually serves us. So create your model of the ego in a way that actually supports you on your journey as a person.
Love it. And so we get the fourth level, and then we'll move on. Guys, I have so many great more questions to ask.
So the supreme level of the mind that is beyond the ego. And this is where we are so lucky, because if the ego was the top level, we would be pretty much screwed, because the ego by itself is fragile, insecure, always seeking validation. So imagine if everyone had to live like that. But luckily, we don't, because above the ego is the level of the higher self, or the divine self, or your God state, where accessing it, you can actually change the ego, you can transmute it into something amazing, into something useful that will support you on your journey. So instead of working against you and abusing your subconscious mind and making it feel resentful, you can have a faithful servant, like an AI almost. You can tell it what to do, it will just go and execute it brilliantly. So the superconscious level, or the superego, as it's sometimes called, the God state, is where we truly belong as human beings. And if we go and live in that level, if instead from living from our ego story, we start living from the level of that God self, our lives just transform. And that level knows who you really are as a person, not your ego mask, not your social identity, but who you are underneath that all. It actually is explained in my latest book, The Superhero's Journey. Once you get into that state and you start living from the level of your higher self, your life transforms, and also your depression just evaporates. It just goes away.
How does someone get to that state?
By learning how your mind operates, and using a special form of meditation that I teach my students to get there. And also, this meditation is actually explained in this book. You can get it, The Superhero's Journey. It's pretty simple. And if you need more help with that, obviously, I'm here to help you. But the bottom line is, you don't actually even need to be a professional meditator. You don't actually need to be even good at meditation to do that. It's that simple. You just need to start doing it, and you need to start designing your identity consciously, because unless you design your personal story yourself in a way that supports your goals, you aren't really going anywhere.
Where can people buy your Superhero's Journey book?
On Amazon worldwide and pretty much wherever books are sold. So all big bookshops online should have it.
Boom, I love it. So many of our listeners are on their own journey of self-discovery and seeking purpose in their lives. Can you give us some initial steps that someone could take to start uncovering their true purpose, like practical advice or exercises that you've proven?
Absolutely. I actually have a free guide, which is called Your Greatest Purpose Audit, on my website, and you can just go and download it. It has 35 questions.
Ooh.
Divided into two sections that you can start thinking about today and get extreme clarity on your pulse, because the way they're designed are to probe through your ego mind and into the deepest levels of your soul and your higher self.
I really love that you said, I never thought about that, but your subconscious mind that drives all of your behavior, that knows all of your problems and why they exist, actually knows your purpose. I've never thought of that. And why that's so interesting is, a couple months ago with our clients, we have a weekly mastermind. And what we did is we put them into a light hypnosis stage, and then we took them back to between like 6 and 8 years old, and we asked them what they really love to do. And that thing that they really love to do was probably what their purpose is. And for me, I love transforming things. I love taking my mom's lawn that was messed up or parts of her yard and transforming it. And it's funny now that I'm transforming lives. So yeah, that's amazing. Your subconscious mind knows your purpose. Talk a little bit about how and why, or maybe why. Why is purpose such a big component of happiness and freedom?
Oh, I love this question. This is because by living our purpose, we actually live according to the flow of the universe. In other words, we live as designed. And think about it this way. If you have an appliance in your home and you're using it, what is the best output? When you use it as designed, or when you use it to drive nails into the wall with it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you use something not the way it's been designed to function, it breaks down and it's not creating optimal results. And as human beings are just like that. And so if we don't live as designed, and there is a blueprint, there is a pattern to it, which I also explain in my book. If you discover that pattern and you just follow it, everything becomes so simple, because everything in the universe operates in fractals. And what are fractals? They're patterns within patterns. And so think about it this way. If you take a little seed or a little acorn, for example, and you look at it and you think, what could be the purpose of this acorn? Well, it's pretty simple, right? Because you know what it does. You know that if you plant it, it's going to grow into an oak. So its purpose is to become an oak. And if you look at a little eaglet, for example, and ask what its purpose is, well, pretty simple, right? It's to become the best, the strongest, the biggest eagle that it can be, right? And further the evolution of the species. But somehow, with us human beings, we never think about it the same way, even though the same principle applies to us. So in some way, you can see all of us as seedlings of what we can be. And so because we never grow into that shape, we actually suffer. It's a little bit like that really cruel tradition in ancient China, where they would bind the feet of their girls so they could never grow, and then they would retain those little baby feet. But imagine if we did the same to our souls, if we actually bind our souls like that, so it never grows, it can never truly express itself, It can never live as designed. That's so painful. This is what drives so many people into the depths of depression. So we need to live as designed, and that means living our purpose.
That is absolutely beautiful. If I could drop my mic, I would drop it. That was a showstopper right there. Ram Dass says, everything in the universe is perfect. Everything. you were put here for a massive mission. If you're sitting there and you have depression or you have anxiety or you're in a crappy marriage or you're way overweight or your parents told you you would never amount to anything, it's all hogwash. Just like Jay just said, the universe brought you in here. It was a miracle that the sperm and the egg got together, right? It was a miracle. You are a miracle and you have a purpose here. And what we just heard is that once you find that purpose, and you can find it through doing this work, through buying the book, through calling Jay, working with Jay, through working with me, once you find that purpose, you're going to be in the flow state of what the universe created you for. And man,
absolutely,
could it be any better? It's like what you're talking about. It's trying to make the acorn into an eagle. It's going to really struggle. And it's going to have depression if an acorn.
I know, exactly. In all sorts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. This is amazing stuff. So you've worked with a lot of clients. Tell us a success story that kind of comes to the top of your mind that is just like, wow.
It's even hard to choose because all of the stories are wow. And I would say the most humbling aspect of my work is that many guys came to me afterwards saying, thank you, you've saved my life. And it's just something that gives you shivers every time, because quite a few people were actually contemplating ending it all, and they just didn't see any more purpose, any more meaning in their lives. And they felt so stuck that they were like, well, that's a game over for me. And so after that, many of them, when they're already millionaires, they became even more successful. They multiplied their income and also their impact. So one of the latest stories I can share is that someone who was already successful, but very unfulfilled, because the question he kept asking himself was, is that all that there is to my life? I don't seem to have any meaningful legacy, any meaningful identity or contribution to the world. And as I'm getting older, what am I going to leave behind? It's like, so I've got all this money, but so what? And so by working together, I help him uncover that unique blueprint of his soul, his unique purpose blueprint. And he was like, oh my God, I've never been so excited. He called his wife, his business partner, and he was just a different person, even physically, you know, his life and his face and like his whole demeanor has lit up. When you see something like that, and when you see people going really big, and he set up a new company now, helping other entrepreneurs connect and make more meaningful contribution to the world. And he's just like, oh my God, I'm living the life of my dreams. This is the best decision I've ever made. And hearing something like that is the best feeling in the world.
That's awesome. So you said he was successful. Do you truly think he was successful, or did he just make a lot of money?
Financially,
mm-hmm.
He had a lot of money.
Yeah. For 47 years, society taught me that success meant having a lot of money, making a lot of money. And it doesn't.
They tell you that.
It doesn't, right? Wow, that's beautiful. So as we wrap up, what have I forgot to ask you that you think would be really important for our listeners to know?
That's a beautiful question. I would say the most important thing to keep in mind from this interview is that you have inside you the power beyond what you even imagine. And we are not just purely physical beings. We're actually divine beings having this physical mundane existence. And we should live and act as such. And so whenever you can, whenever you feel inspired, go and look inside and unlock that power and start serving the world greatly. Because the more people do that, the more people will spread their gift and their light in this world, the more this world is going to be illuminated. And we are going to have an amazing experience, all of us, by serving the world from our greatest potential and to our greatest capacity.
Beautiful. So I'm pretty sure my purpose on this earth is to help people find freedom and happiness by overcoming limiting beliefs that they placed on themselves very early on. But I'm going to go to your website, New Era Superhero. I'm going to download that because I'm really, really interested. So once I fill that out, is that like literally, will that give me my purpose, or do I have to do additional work after that?
It will give you clarity.
Clarity. Okay.
But you still have to do the additional work. If it were super simple, everyone would be doing it. Unfortunately, living your purpose is like working out. You can get the most perfect exercise and diet plan for you, but unless you execute that, it's just going to be that, a plan. So having a perfect plan for you is really important because, of course, if someone designs an exact blueprint based on your fitness level and on your body needs and on your goals, that is super valuable in itself. But someone needs to be there to actually train you up and to help you achieve those goals beyond just knowing about them.
Love it. Jay, that was absolutely exceptional. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I love talking to you.
So that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Jay and myself help people go from this depressed, anxious, overworking, whatever it is state, to this state of purpose and fulfillment. So we can't do it alone. I want to help a million people find this freedom and happiness. So if you like this podcast, could you please share it with a friend? Could you please rate it? Could you please review it? Anything you can do to help spread this message, because if you're suffering, you don't have to suffer and there's a better way.
Exactly.
Until next time, love heals all.
Thank you.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.